సరస్వతిం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయ నష్ట ప్రాయశు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైస్తికీ. సో వి ఆర్ కంటిన్యూయింగ్ from verse 42 Srimad Bhagavatam canto 2 cosmic manifestation chapter 6 Purusha Sukta confirm verse 42 adyo avatara purusha parasya kala svabhava sarasan manascha dravyam vikaro guna indriyani virat swarastasnu charishnu bhumna. Translation: karana narna vashai Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbho Dakshai Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Here Srila Prabhupada explains in the second line, he explains the material creation is but a temporary exhibition of the material energy of the Almighty God. So this again we understand this is not eternal, not permanent. This material manifestation is necessary to give a chance to the conditioned souls who are unwilling to associate with the Lord in the relationship of loving transcendental service. So there's a reason why this was created. And the reason is to give a chance so that they can develop that relationship. And that's why we are doing all this chanting, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, all that to revive this relationship again. Such unwilling conditioned souls are not allowed to enter into the liberated life of spiritual existence because at heart they are not willing to serve. So that's why we can't go to the spiritual world. We are not interested in serving the Lord. As long as that desire not to serve is strong in our hearts, we cannot go back. You can't go back. You know, even if you say, I 50% I'll go serve. No. The only way we can go back is when we are 100% wanting to serve the Lord and nothing else. Instead, they want to enjoy themselves as imitation gods. So Prabhupada says, we are all trying to imitate the Supreme Lord Krishna. The living entities are constitutionally eternal servitors of the Lord, but some of them, because of misusing their independence, do not wish to serve. Okay, again he is making this point. Why we are here? Because we misused our independence and do not wish to serve. Therefore, they are allowed to enjoy the material nature, which is called Maya or illusion. It is called illusion because the living beings under the clutches of Maya are not factually enjoyous. Although they think that they are being illusioned by Maya. So whatever enjoyment we experience is not really real enjoyment. It's something little taste you get, that's all. Just like when your mom makes a cake and she puts a cream on it, and then when you're a kid you try to get the cream, but you get a little bit on your finger and you taste it, and then you say, oh, that tastes so good. But you never had the chance to eat the cake. So it's like that. Maya illusion, the enjoyment is like that. Not factually, we are the enjoyers. Such illusion living entities are given a chance at intervals to rectify the perverted mentality of becoming false masters of the material nature. So the interval is whenever the Lord or His associates come down to preach or to establish religious principles. And these lessons that they get are about Vedas and their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada continues, so the temporary creation of the material manifestation is an exhibition of the material energy of the Lord. And to manage the whole show, the Supreme Lord incarnates Himself as the Karana Narna Vashayi Vishnu, just as a magistrate is deputed by the government to manage affairs temporarily. Okay? Okay. And then, what we need to understand from this purport and the verse is that this material world is created to help the living entities. That's why the Lord created this. To change our selfish nature to selfless service to Krishna. Okay, so that's the idea behind this text here. Text 43-45. Aham bhavo yagna ime prajesha. Dakshadayo ye bhavadadayascha. Sarloka pala kagaloka pala. Niloka pala stala loka pala.
Niloka pala stala loka pala.
Gandharva vidyadara charanesha.
Gandharva vidyadara charanesha.
Neyaksha raksho raganaganataha.
Neyaksha raksho raganaganataha.
Eva rishinam rishabha pitrinam.
Eva rishinam rishabha pitrinam.
Daityendra siddheshvara dhanavendraha.
Daityendra siddheshvara dhanavendraha.
Anye chaye preta pishasha bhuta.
Anye chaye preta pishasha bhuta.
Kusmanda yado mrga paksha dishaha.
Kusmanda yado mrga paksha dishaha.
Yad kincha loke bhagavan mahashwar.
Yad kincha loke bhagavan mahashwar.
Oja sahasva balavat kshamavar.
Oja sahasva balavat kshamavar.
Shri Vibhuti Atmavat Atbhutarnam.
Shri Vibhuti Atmavat Atbhutarnam.
Tadvam Param Rupa Vadasvarupam.
Tadvam Param Rupa Vadasvarupam.
I myself, Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, great generators of living beings like Daksha and Prajapati, yourselves, Narada and the Kumaras, heavenly demigods like Indra and Chandra, the leaders of the Bhurloka planets, the leaders of the earthly planets, the leaders of the lower planets, the leaders of the Gandharva planets, the leaders of the Vidyadhara planets, the leaders of the Charana Loka planets, the leaders of the Yakshas, Rakshas and Uragas, the great sages, the great demons, the great Atis and the great spacemen, as well as the dead bodies, evil spirits, Satans, Jinn, Kushmandas, great aquatics, great beasts, and great birds, etc. In other words, anything and everything which is exceptionally possessed of power, opulence, mental and perceptual dexterity, strength, forgiveness, beauty, modesty, opulence, and breathing, whether in form or formless, may appear to be the specific truth and the form of the Lord, but actually they are not so. They are only a fragment of the transcendental potency of the Lord. Yeah. So he's comparing everything just to show that actually all these are coming from the Lord. And that, you know, just a small fragment. Krishna says that to Arjuna also. What need is there for all this? This fragment of my energy only. So Prabhupada writes, after he talks about all these aquatics, birds and beasts, he says, but factually, none of them is the Supreme Lord. He wants to emphasize that, which is what Brahma says. So same thing. None of this creation is Supreme Lord. So if Brahma says that, so how can people say we are God, you are God, I am God? Like, yeah? This Mayavad philosophy. So each of this creation, all these great personalities in each of these categories, they have, but Prabhupada says, only a fragment of the great potencies of the Lord. Just a fragment. So that we have to understand. And then a few lines down, after he has talked about all these different personalities and so on, where he says goddess of smallpox and so on, then he says there are many foolish men. What are these? Why are these foolish men? Because they worship some of the potent manifestations of the Lord, wrongly accepting the powerful object as God. This is towards the end of the paragraph there, like four or five lines before that. Okay? And these are people who don't understand that, and so they are all worshipping anything that looks powerful or what, they start thinking they are God. Actually, that is not true. So Prabhupada is also telling us. So anything that people have any kind of particular ability, it is actually coming from the Supreme Lord, but it's not theirs. Huh? Even like if you can float or you can fly, that power is also coming from the Lord. Not that you are generating yourself, no. So when the Lord says, I mean, when the Lord is described as formless or material, I mean, no legs and this and that, it means he doesn't have material forms. So, or sometimes he is described as these expansions, all these living entities. So Prabhupada says, when the Lord is described as formless in the Vedic literatures, it is to be understood that all these forms mentioned above, within the experience of universal knowledge, are different exhibitions of the Lord's transcendental potencies only, and none of them factually represents the transcendental form of the Lord. That we need to understand. So to understand the Lord, the truth about the Lord, we just have to follow what Brahma is teaching to Narada. Text 46. Pradanyato yan risha amananti Leelavataram purushasya bhumna Apiyatam karna kashaya shoshan Anukramishyeta imam supeshan. O Narada, now I shall state one after another the transcendental incarnations of the Lord known as Leela Avataras. Hearing of the activities counteracts all foul matters accumulated in the year. These pastimes are pleasing to hear and are to be relished. Therefore, they are in my heart. So he's always thinking about them. All these pastimes. That's one of the reasons why we should keep reading Krishna books. So you can think about pastimes, right? Did you read Krishna book? What did you read? You were in the first chapter. Okay. Everyone in the first chapter? Okay. All right, good. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, 4 or 5 lines down, he says, every living entity has a tendency to hear pleasing messages. Just like if two people are in love, they like to hear sweet nothings, they say. Right? Which means it's useless talk. But they find it sweet. You know, yeah, sometimes adults also, right? When they talk to babies, they will say, oh, goo 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 gaga, right? That's pleasing to even the child or the adults also, right? Yeah. And so it's like that. And when I was in college, I saw people, boys and girls, when they were mixing, they will talk stupid things, you know. And you wonder, does it really make sense? But that's sweet nothings. So, tendency to hear nice messages, but... So therefore, to take it further, we want to hear good news also. So Prabhupada says, as such, almost every one of us is inclined to hear news and talks broadcast by the radio stations. But the difficulty is no one is satisfied at heart by hearing all those messages. Because what you hear nowadays is, what kind of news do you hear? Yeah,
go to India and then sure. People, you know, be watching TV so much.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's 24-hour news channels.
Yeah. So most news nowadays, 90% of the news is all violence, crimes, and it's just
complete.
There's nothing happy news anymore. In fact, they feel that if it's happy news, then nobody will watch.
Yeah.
Ratings.
It's not sensational.
Ratings will go up. So therefore, this message that you hear doesn't affect our heart, our soul. So therefore, there's useless messages. These messages are useless. It doesn't affect your heart, doesn't please your heart. But the message that is prepared by Vyasadeva, it's so wonderful that it immediately satisfies us. Just like you read Krishna book, you feel so nice, no? Right or not? If you don't feel nice, then you need some surgery, mental surgery. No, it is true, it's very nice. And then so many incarnations, right? So many pastimes, right? Of the Lord from the Bhagavatam, so many pastimes. So if you keep reading it continuously, and then you hear, like, you know, Amala Bhakta Prabhu does very nice presentation, you just play it and you hear it. And then you will remember the pastime. I remember when I first started, I used to hear his tapes going to work, coming back, and then I practically heard it so many times that you know, after you're waiting to say exactly what he's. It is very enlivening, so to speak. Yeah. So then further down, Srila Prabhupada then continues towards the end of that paragraph, like 10 lines before. Therefore, they take more interest in the transcendental activities, these devotees, of the Lord as He incarnates Himself on the surface of the material world. Srimad Bhagavatam is the history of such activities of the Lord, and people who take interest in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam clear their hearts of accumulated mundane filth. Prabhupada keeps using this, filth. Filth in the ear, filth now, from the heart. It is same as what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, right? Cheto darpanam marjanam, cleaning the temple in the heart. Once you clean your heart, then the temple in your heart is suitable for the Lord to come and live there in your heart. Otherwise, useless. And then Prabhupada continues, one who has taken interest in the Srimad Bhagavatam loses all interest in such filthy literatures. So that means when you keep reading Krishna book and Bhagavatam, you know, daily you read, you'll find you should lose interest in mundane literatures, anything, newspaper or something like that. So you should be intelligent. If you don't want to read newspaper, you just ask either your kids who read or your friend, give me a summary of what's happening. Then it's the same. I remember when I was a young boy, in the 60s, when I was in school, the news was Middle East war. Israel and they were fighting. Now I'm in my mid-50s. still Israel and Midian. So it never changed. Huh? It never changed. Huh? Yeah, this thing will go on. This thing, it's useless. Doesn't make you feel like anybody wants, and nobody wants to solve the problem, actually. Because everyone's making money and profit out of the whole war. So then, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, so nice and wonderful it is. You know, you get peaceful, and then you can dream about Krishna. You know? Then if you're very consistent, you start seeing the deities. So a lot of devotees have dreams about deities, doing service and so on. If your conscious not there, then you dream yourself doing mundane work and so on. So it's like that.
It's like Prabhu, when you don't have any interest in talking with outside materialists.
Yes.
So, same thing, literature, if you keep on reading, then
you will lose.
Lose that taste.
Taste of it. Yeah, this is, taste is increasing. Param dursa nivartiti. Everything else pales in comparison to Krishna. It must pale. Because you're talking about an infinite, a person who's infinite. His qualities are infinite. His attractiveness is infinite. So, therefore, it must pale. You must give up other interests. It automatically. So now, in this chapter, right, you see how Brahma, Narada asked about creation and who did it. That's all he asked, right? But then Brahma, he could have stopped after saying, okay, this is creation, that's it, see you, Baba. But he didn't. He continued on talking about these are the incarnations and so on. He talked about the glories of the Lord. Why? Because he wants to give this, this knowledge.
I have a question here, like why it is called as Purusha Shukta Conform? Because Purusha is a prayer, right?
Yeah, it means the best prayers. Yeah.
This is best among the Purusha
Shukta? It seems that this is similar to the Purusha Shukta in the Rig Veda. And that prayers are similar to this. Yeah. Yeah.
Because there is no Purusha Shukta prayers here in this particular
chapter. Not particular, but that's what it... let me see. Shukta is a specific kind of auspicious prayer. Su means well and Ukta means spoken. The Rig Veda Purusha Shukta prayers glorify Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu.
So that's why he's glorifying.
The first four texts of the Purusha Shukta are as follows. The Supreme Lord is the form of the universe and has thousands heads, a thousand eyes and a thousand feet, for he contains all the living entities. Yeah. So that is the same prayer. Similar to, and it's for Garbhodaksha Vishnu also. Yeah, it's quite a long prayer. You can look at it.
Primarily the Brahmanas.
Yeah.
They chant this.
Yeah, the Sri Vaishnava Brahmans.
So also even the Brahmanas.
Normal Brahmanas.
Yes.
Okay.
Whenever the deity is being bathed.
Yeah, so they chant.
At the time they chant Purusha. It starts with like Om Sahasra Sri Krishna Purusha Sahasra Sahasrapad Sabhubhim Nishpadopatva, like that.
So that's
Purusha. Yeah. So that is Purusha.
Oh, Sahasra Sri Krishna, the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Thousand hands, yeah. Thousand hands. Yeah.
Yeah. He has thousand heads. Sahasrakshara means he has thousands of eyes. Sahasrapad.
So it's two things. He expands himself to thousands and thousands. Also thousands of living entities in his body also. Okay, so thus ends the Bhakti and the Purports of the second canto, sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed. Now we come to chapter 7, the scheduled incarnations with specific functions. So Brahma is going to talk about quite a few incarnations, but not everything. But some of the ones that, major ones that he feels is important, and he is going to describe it to Narada Muni. Okay?
Can I ask you, in the previous verse, I mean, I just reading the fourth one, not a very important question, but just to, in the fourth, what if even the purport, you mentioned that, talk about the scientist, and then there is the lower grade person gradually rise to become Sauryas, worshippers of sun god, or Ganapatyas, worshippers of the mass of people as Janta, Janardhan or Daridra Narayan etc. in the form of Ganpati. I was thinking this, so just trying to understand this Lord Ganpati is related to worship, how is it related to worshippers of mass of people? Is Lord Ganpati worshipped that way?
He says in the form of Ganpati. Janata Janardana or Daridra Narayana. These are all impersonalists.
So actually there are many agamas.
Agamas many?
Agamas means like you have heard Nigama, right? Nigama is Shrutis. And extension of Nigama is Agama.
Some way of worshipping.
So the first Agama which is very prominent is worship of Shakti, which is called as Shakta Agamas.
Hmm.
The second is Shorya Agama.
Surya Dev. Hmm. Third is Ganapati Agama. Hmm. And then the fourth is Shiva or Shaiva Agama. But how is the worship of mass of people related to worship of Ganpati? That one.
I don't know.
Fifth one is ours, which is.
Yeah, Vikhara. That is clear that it is going from Surya to Ganpati to.
And the last one is not given here, but it is Vaikhanasa Agama, which is explaining the Vaikhanasa in South India.
I don't know how these rituals are done and why and how proper release. That part I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I can, you know, I don't know. I can find out. Yeah. All right. So let's go to chapter 7. Schedule incarnations with specific functions. Brahma Uvacha.
Brahma Uvacha.
Yeah. Yatro dyatha shititalodharanaya bibrat.
Yatro dyatha shititalodharanaya bibrat.
Kraudim tanum shakala yagna mayim anantaha.
Kraudim tanum shakala yagna mayim anantaha.
Antar maharnava upagata madi daityam.
Antar maharnava upagata madi daityam.
Tam dam strayadrim iva vajra daro dadara.
Tam dam strayadrim iva vajra daro
dadara. What Brahma said, when the unlimitedly powerful Lord assumed the form of a boar as a pastime just to lift the planet Earth, which was drowned in the great ocean of the universe called Garbhodaka, the first demon, Hiranyaksha, appeared and the Lord pierced him with his tusk. This is the first demon. Eh? He's the first demon. Yeah. So Hiranya means goal, aksha. It means he's always going after goal. Materialist. Okay. So from this verse till verse 25, all the different incarnations are discussed briefly. These are all briefly. And then after that, 3 or 4 verses talks about Krishna's incarnation. So Prabhupada writes in the Purport, Lord Brahma is the first demigod and Hiranyaksha is the first demon in this universe. They get the first, right? Sometimes you see in the, when you read an article, there's a comment some people always like to say, right? I'm the first, right? And you wonder why they do that. But they like to have that position. So here we give Hiranyaksha as the first demon in the universe. Only under certain conditions do the planets float as weightless balls in the air, and as soon as these conditions are disturbed, the planets may fall down in the Garbhodaka ocean, which covers half the universe. Okay, so you have to understand also, these planets are not floating on their own. There's some conditions. So this is some of the condition Prabhupada is giving. Certain condition. And actually it is the Lord's potency that is holding. And then he holds it according to what, how the planet is treated and so on. If these conditions are disturbed, then it will fall down. So a line down, Srila Prabhupada says, the floating of planets in the weightless air is due to the inner constitution of the globes. and the modernized drilling of the earth to exploit oil from within is a sort of disturbance by the modern demons and can result in a greatly harmful reaction to the floating condition of the earth. That's why we have all the warming earth temperatures, climate changes and all these problems coming because of this. A similar disturbance was created formerly by the demons headed by Hiranyaksha, the great exploiter of the gold rush. So he really dug the earth for gold, you know, he really went after gold. And the earth was detached from its weightless condition and fell down into the Garbhodaka ocean. So this guy also, you know, if you read the pastime, he purposely puts the earth in the Garbhodaksha ocean. The Lord, as maintainer of the whole creation of the material world, therefore assumed the gigantic form of a boar with a proportionate snout and picked up the earth from within the water of Garbhodaka. Sri Jayadev Goswami, the great Vaishnava poet, sang as follows. Vasati dashana shikare dharani tava lagna shashini kalanka khaleva nigamagna keshava dritta sukara rupa jai jagadisha hare. O Keshava, O Supreme Lord, who have assumed the form of a boar, O Lord, the planet earth rested on your tusk and it appeared like the moon engraved with spots. Then, few lines down in the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada said, the incarnation of the Lord appears under certain extraordinary circumstances like the above mentioned occasion. And the incarnation performs a task which is not even imaginable by the tiny brain of mankind. We can't understand. The modern creators of the many cheap incarnations may take note of the factual incarnation of God as a gigantic boar with a suitable snout to carry the planet Earth. Okay, so because we are now able to understand, we can accept this. You know, but you show the scientists, they think, what's wrong with you guys? The pig came and all these things. They'll think we are all crazy guys. Only today I was reading in the news, this lady scientist, she was saying that we all came from a rat.
From a rat.
Yeah, so I was saying, she may have come from a rat, but we know where we came from. So this is a lack of understanding.
You mentioned
experiences. No, because they said, definitely they are so sure, they did research and they are so happy that they concluded that it is from the rat.
Final conclusion. They also said that species,
all other species, that's true also. So this is the original Purusha rat confirmed. Confirmed. Rat confirmed. So now, you know, they say monkey also came from this rat. I'm telling you, these people, every few years they'll change the rat theory. Yeah.
So all the planets are actually within the stem of the lotus flower, right? So when it loses that particular force or whatever it is to sustain in the air, then it falls into the Garbhodaksha ocean. So but then it is in the stem.
They are originally, they are like prototypes in the stem. Then Brahma will bring out and expand into the universe. According to Blue Room, yes, he will expand. You read in the third canto. He will use the blueprint of the Virat Purusha. Then he'll place all the different planets, and the planets grow in size, and then he'll populate with the population, different living entities like that. Yeah.
So till now, the population has, I mean, in this particular thing, population has not happened. It's just the structured.
So far, this is a summary description only.
No, what I'm trying to say is, when this Earth planet was put in the Garbhodaka ocean, there were no human beings on that planet.
I am not sure at that time. No, I'm not sure.
But where did the pastime take place? Prahlad and Narsimha? Was it on Earth?
This is Hiranyaksha.
In a different planet.
On a different?
Yes. I am not sure whether they are living. They must be living entities.
Hiranyaksha is there, no?
Huh?
No, he is from different planet, right? He's from
they are from different planet.
I think the cantos, I think Swayambhu Manu, when he's ready to create the human beings, at that time he sees that Earth is not there, then Swayambhu Manu prays to Brahma.
Then to Brahma, that's right.
So this is before the
so
population is placed there. These are the demigod level. What you are watching now is demigod level.
This
yeah.
episode is
yeah, because it's just a summary of what he's done so far. Then later on he will, the story continues, right? Now I remember, Swayambhu Manu will come to, and then that's in the third canto, then you'll get the full knowledge of how, whether people were there or not. Yeah, that's true. Text 2. Jato ruche rajanaya suyama suyagna.
Jato ruche rajanaya suyama suyagna.
Akutisunuramaranata dakshinayam.
Akutisunuramaranata dakshinayam.
Lokatrayasya mahatim maharadyadartim.
Lokatrayasya mahatim maharadyadartim.
Swayambhuvena manuna haririti anuktaha.
Swayambhuvena manuna haririti anuktaha.
Translation: the Prajapati first begot Suyagna in the womb of his wife Akuti, and then Suyagna begot demigods headed by Suyama in the womb of his wife Dakshina. Suyagna, as the Indra Deva, diminished very great miseries in the three planetary systems, upper, lower and intermediate. And because he so diminished the miseries of the universe, he was later called Hari by the great father of mankind, namely Swayambhuva Manu. Prabhupada writes in the purport, in order to guard against the invention of unauthorized incarnations of God by the fanciful, less intelligent persons, the name of the father of the bona fide incarnation is also mentioned in the authorized revealed scriptures. So people cannot cheat. Because you see so many in the roadsides. No one therefore can be accepted as an incarnation of the Lord if his father's name, as well as the name of the village or place in which he appears, is not mentioned by the authorized scriptures. In the Bhagavad Purana, the name of Kalki incarnation, which is to take place in almost 400,000 years, is mentioned along with the name of his father and the name of the village in which he will appear. Okay. So we shouldn't accept any cheap description of or cheap incarnations. Text 3. Yajne chakardama grihe dvijadeva hutyam.
Yajne chakardama grihe dvijadeva hutyam.
Sri bi samam navabhiratma gatim swamatre.
Sri bi samam navabhiratma gatim swamatre.
Uche yayatma shamalam gunasanga pankam.
Uche yayatma shamalam gunasanga pankam.
Asmin vidu Vidhuya Kapilasya Gatim Prapede.
Asmin Vidhuya Kapilasya Gatim Prapede.
The Lord then appeared as the Kapila incarnation, being the son of Prajapati Brahmana Kardama and his wife Devahuti, along with 9 other women, sisters. He spoke to his mother about self-realization, by which in that very lifetime she became fully cleansed of the mud of the material modes, and thereby achieve liberation, the path of Kapila. So Prabhupada talks about how they achieved the self-realization in the first paragraph, and also in the second paragraph, also a little bit. And towards the end of that second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, every incarnation of the Lord has his own abode in the spiritual sky. Therefore, Lord Kapila also has his separate Vaikuntha planet. The spiritual sky is not void. Okay? That means there are so many Vaikuntha planets. One of these Vaikuntha planets belongs to Lord Kapila. So he is also an incarnation of Lord. Yeah. Then in the next paragraph, Prabhupada writes, when the Lord descends personally or by His personal plenary expansions, such incarnations are called Angsa, Kala, Guna, Yuga and Manvantara incarnations. And when the Lord's associates descend by the order of the Lord, such incarnations are called Shaktyavesha incarnations. You all should know, right? I already gave you the diagram a couple of years ago. Yeah. But in all cases, all incarnations are supported by the invulnerable statements of the authorized scriptures and not by any imagination or some self-interested propagandists. Such incarnations of the Lord in either of the above categories always declare the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the ultimate truth. So that's the other thing. Huh? The incarnation of the Lord in either of the above categories, whether they are Angsas or Shaktivesh, they will always declare Krishna as the ultimate truth. They won't come up with something new. They won't come up with something concocted. Alright? And then, towards the end of the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, the antiseptic potency of devotional service to the Lord is so great that it can neutralize the material infection even in the present life of a devotee. Nice statement. A devotee does not need to wait for his next birth for complete liberation. So again, Prabhupada doesn't want us to stick around, you know. He wants us to go back in this lifetime. So that's why we always emphasize, chant nicely, think about how you're chanting and then, you know, progress every day. You know, once you are aware that you're not chanting well, then you will start to pray for the Lord's mercy. Please, let me chant nicely. Text 4. Atrerapat Tyam avikangshata ahatushto.
Atre rapatyam avikangshata ahatushto.
Datto mayaham iti yad bhagavan sa datta.
Datto mayaham iti yad bhagavan sa datta.
Yad pada pankaja paraga pavitra deha.
Yad pada pankaja paraga pavitra deha.
Yogardima purubayim yadu hai hayadya.
Yogardima purubayim
yadu hai. Suddenly everybody. Translation. The great sage Atri prayed for offspring and the Lord, being satisfied with him, promised to incarnate as Atri's son, Dattatreya. Datta, the son of Atri. And by the grace of the lotus feet of the Lord, many Yadus, Haihayas, sounds like Red Indians, huh? etc., became so purified that they obtained both material and spiritual blessings. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, transcendental relations between the personality of Godhead and the living entities are eternally established in five different affectionate humors, which are known as Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. The sage Atri was related with the Lord in the affectionate Vatsalya humor, and therefore as a result of his devotional perfection, he was inclined to have the personality of Godhead as his son.
It's called as humor.
That's the closest meaning to, I mean, in English, that can make sense to rasa. Okay? For us, rasa means juice, rasa means this, the taste. We can, you know, we understand when we say rasa means. But in English, that is the closest that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur uses. So Prabhupada
mellow,
uses.
Mellow
also, yeah. Yeah. But this is
referred humor as
but that's different humor, no?
Yeah.
Not a comic one. It's a mood or state of mind. So it's a kind of a state of mind. Okay? The mood. Okay? So that's different. Different moods. That's what it is. Sometimes people think humor means this is like joke, you know.
Right. So I mean that's
five different joking relationships, something. That's not it, huh? Okay. Alright, such a relation, the Lord accepted his prayer and he gave himself as the son of Atri. Such a relation of sonhood between the Lord and his pure devotees can be cited in many instances. And because the Lord is unlimited, he has an unlimited number of father devotees. Okay, so that means that relation is unlimited also. Okay, that's one Nanda Maharaj, but then we can all also have that similar vatsalya parental relation also, but then we are not at the same level as Nanda, but we are still in that category like that. So because he is unlimited, he can have unlimited father-son relationship.
So Sandipani Muni also comes under this?
I believe so, yeah. Yes, he does. Yeah. He teach, and then when they were out in the forest with... Who was he with? They got stuck.
Sudama.
And then he got stuck, and then he was worried. He came looking for him. And then he was very happy to see them. Yeah, he has that relationship. Alright, towards the... And at the bottom, a third from the bottom.
Vishwamitra
and Rama. Also.
And Rama.
Yes. Yeah, Ram and Vishwamitra, the same vatsalya relationship. So Prabhupada writes again, continues, the valuable time of one's life must therefore be fully engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Then other desirable achievements are automatically gained. That means if we spend our time developing our loving relationship with Krishna, other things get automatically fulfilled, material things, needs or whatever. Krishna will help us, provided you are very sincerely pursuing it. Of course, things that you can do, you should do, you know? Right? Oh Lord, I'm hungry, you know. Then you don't cook, he's not going to come and cook for you. So the point is, it's not like automatically that all the supply is coming, not like that, yeah. But even after obtaining such achievements, one should be on guard against the pitfall of offenses at the feet of devotees. So this is very important. Even when you are very advanced, you should be careful. What to speak of us, right? So then he gives the, since you will be wondering what Hai-Haya is, Hai-Haya, then he's giving the example. The vivid example is Hai-Haya, who achieved all such perfection in devotional service, but because of his offense at the feet of a devotee, was killed by Lord Parashuram. He's a king, I believe, so he was killed. The Lord became the son of the great sage Atri and became known as Dattatreya. Text 5. Taptam tapo vivida loka sishrikshayami.
Taptam tapo vivida loka sishrikshayami.
Adasana svatapasacha chatu sanobu.
Adasana svatapasacha chatu sanobu.
Prakalpa samplava vinastam ihatma tatvam.
Prakalpa samplava vinastam ihatma tatvam.
Samya jagada munayo yad achakshatatman.
Samya jagada munayo yad achakshatatman.
To create different planetary systems, the Brahma is saying, to create different planetary systems, I had to undergo austerities and penance. And the Lord, thus being pleased with me, incarnated in four sanas, Sanaka, Sanat Kumara, Sanandana and Sanatana. In the previous creation, the spiritual truth was devastated. But the four sanas explained it so nicely that the truth at once became clearly perceived by the sages. So they also had a reason for, even though Lord Brahma created them, but they also had a reason. And these four kumaras are known as a jnana shakti avesh. They are empowered by the Lord. Just like Narada is Bhakti Shakti. So they are Jnana Shakti. So
this in the 12 Mahajans, so we consider Chaturkumaras as one of them.
Mm. All together. Well, they are all together always. So they are considered like that. If you want, you can add 3 more to the count, 15. You know, but 12 Mahajans means they are in the category. They all agree with each other. Usually, one spokesman will speak, the others keep quiet. No? Right? Something like that. The elders always speak, the others keep quiet. Generally like that.
But there are other Mahajans also. This is just named by Yamana.
Yeah, that's right.
Are there other Mahajans other than 12?
I mean,
oh, definitely. Mahajans, there are many Mahajans. Mahajans, but this specifically in this Bhagavatam, we know 12 great Mahajans. Yeah. Thapa is also a Mahajan. Yeah.
Acharyas, previous Acharyas
all. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. In the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, Brahmaji wanted to create the whole cosmic situation as it was in the previous millennium. And because in the last devastation, knowledge of the Absolute Truth was altogether erased from the universe, he desired that the same knowledge again be renovated. Otherwise, there would be no meaning in creation. Because transcendental knowledge is a prime necessity, the ever-conditioned souls are given a chance for liberation in every millennium of creation. This mission of Brahmaji was fulfilled by the grace of the Lord when the four Sanas, namely Sanaka, Sanat Kumara, Sanandana and Sanatana, appeared as his four sons. These four Sanas were incarnations of the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, and as such they explained transcendental knowledge so explicitly that all the sages could at once assimilate this knowledge without the least difficulty. By following in the footsteps of the four Kumaras, one can at once see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within oneself. Okay.
One of the said they're not bhaktas, so they became bhaktas later.
Yeah, it is said like that, yeah. But they talked, obviously they must have described this after they became bhaktas. In any case, they also were transcendentalists before they became bhaktas. So they knew transcendental knowledge. Yeah, it is interesting, but anyway, that's how it is. Text 6.
Yeah. So every day of Brahma, they come, right?
Every day of Brahma?
Once in a day of Brahma, right? This one is, yeah.
But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada says, altogether erased from the universe, which means it's a total annihilation also.
At the end of the day, sir.
I don't know whether it's previous millennium, so it's end of the day. Sounds like end of the day. And he doesn't say which devastation is it, partial or total. So we assume it's partial. It could be previous day. Or when the night when he sleeps, there's a partial devastation.
Because Narada Muni instructed them. Narada Muni was in this particular day, he was not in it. So it should be in this one, this day also.
That means from the previous day to this day, that's what he's saying, from previous millennium.
What happens during Brahma's night time?
There'll be some devastation, partial devastation. There's many devastations. When the end of the Kali Yuga, Satya, all Yuga finishes, there is some devastation also, sometime. And sometimes these devastations only occur within that planetary systems. Sometimes this devastation, the Garbhadaka ocean can go all the way to the upper planetary system also. So there are different types of annihilation. And finally, at the end of Brahma's life, it's totally everything will be destroyed. That's a full devastation.
So during night time, like the living entities are still there? From Brahma's night time?
The living entities are still there, yes. But they also be destroyed, yeah.
During night time, no living entities there in the universe?
Yes, they are destroyed. Not in the universe, some level only will be destroyed, partial. The demigods may all be still okay. It's only the earthly planetary system. Just like the situation when the Matsya avatar, right? The whole planet is full with water already. Right? So then only a few people were saved like that. So that devastation, that is also a devastation. So that kind of partial devastation can happen. During the night, some planetary systems will be the living energy destroyed, and then in the daytime, Brahma will create again. Yeah.
And the living entities, where do they, in the night time, where are they actually? I know they are in a limbo state. They're, but where, it's within the universe someplace.
Yeah. They all go back waiting to get taken birth, so in suspended animation. No, it's a sleep. Suspended animation, you go to sleep, then, and then they will take birth again after a while. Yeah.
Dreamless
or dreaming. Yeah. Text 6. Dharmasya daksha duhitara jinishta murtyam.
Dharmasya daksha duhitara jinishta murtyam.
Narayano nara iti svatapa prabhavaha.
Narayano nara iti svatapa prabhavaha.
Drisvatmano bhagavato niyamavalopam.
Drisvatmano bhagavato niyamavalopam.
Devyastu nanga pritana gatitum nasheku.
Devyastu nanga pritana gatitum nasheku.
To exhibit his personal way of austerity and penance, he appeared in twin forms as Narayana and Nara in the womb of Murti, the wife of Dharma and the daughter of Daksha. Celestial beauties, the companions of Cupid, went to try to break his vows, but they were unsuccessful, for they saw that many beauties like them were emanating from him, the personality of Godhead. This is in the 12th canto, this pastime of Nara and Narayana.
Krishna Arjuna.
Well, they, said like that, yes. Let me see. The pastime is in the 12th canto, right? And when they tried to break the austerities, the Lord was so powerful, these ladies couldn't do anything. They got angry, they were afraid, because previously when the Cupid, Kamadev, disturbed Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva burned him. So now when they came with Cupid, and they were thinking Nara is going to burn them, so they were like shocked, they didn't know what to do. But then the Lord started to, all the apsaras came from him. So therefore they were stunned in astonishment. So in the Purport, Srila Prabhupada says, in the first couple of lines, human life is meant for such tapasya, with the great vow of celibacy or brahmacharya. In the rigid life of tapasya, there is no place for the association of women. But this is for anyone who wants to take up tapasya. Similarly, also for devotee ladies, they really want to do tapasya. You're not supposed to go into that realm because you're supposed to be protected. So therefore, you're protected, you don't need to do austerities like that. And so when personalities who do tapasya like that and go in the forest and so on, so they cannot associate with women. So Prabhupada wants to make that point very clearly. And then a few lines down, he's talking about all the Varnashram Dharma, how the caste system is ordered, and how even within the different order of the caste system, the association of women is very controlled. Okay. So then Prabhupada says, during the first stage of life, up to 25 years of age, a man may be trained as a brahmachari under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, just to understand that woman is the real binding force in material existence. Now, of course, you know, this is talking about for the ordinary situation, not talking about devotee woman, you know. The devotee woman actually helps the husband get out of this material existence. If one wants to get freedom from the material bondage of conditional life, he must get free from the attraction for the form of woman, and for the woman, the form of man. Woman or the fair sex is the enchanting principle for the living entities. Now, this is a very interesting, because if you go look at the world today, all the advertisement is mainly, this is only women only. They don't use men so much. Yeah?
Even the internet, when they say all these websites, match.com and all this, it's always a picture of a woman. Although it's for both, right? The enchanting principle is woman.
Right. Yeah, so that's what it is, because Maya is represented by women. Not women, I'm talking about the energy Maya is feminine in nature. And the male form, especially in the human being, is meant for self-realization. The whole world is moving under the spell of womanly attraction. So this is very true, because it's a multi-billion dollar venture, you know. They make lots of money from exploiting ladies, women. From the dress they wear to the powder they put on their face, everything is money. Glasses, jewelries, they're the most costly object to maintain. It's true. You know, you go anywhere, you know, it's a big multi-million dollar business. So therefore they will not want anyone to tell a woman to be simple. There'll be a big riot. So in America, constantly they will make sure the women are liberated, so-called liberated, no? So they can do all this exploitation. Then Prabhupada says, the whole world is moving under the spell of womanly attraction, and as soon as a man becomes united with the woman, he at once becomes a victim of material bondage under a tight knot. The desires for lording it over the material world under the intoxication of a false sense of lordship specifically begin just after the man's unification with the woman. The desires for acquiring a house, possessing land, having children, becoming prominent in society, the affection for community and the place of birth, and the hankering for wealth, which are all like phantasmagoria or illusory dreams, encumber a human being, and he is thus impeded in his progress towards self-realization, the real aim of life. Okay? So you can see how it starts, you know, once they are a couple are together, then they have to do so many things. Prabhupada says, so many things they have to get. House, this, cars, then, whether I have a nice furniture, nice paintings, this and that. So many things, one after another. So all this will bind the person, and then the aim of life is forgotten in an ordinary sense. But in Krishna consciousness, we don't look at it like that. That is why one of the things you see Prabhupada always emphasizes, become satisfied, and even if you want something, use it in the service of Krishna. So therefore, you don't get caught up in this material existence. So towards the end, I'm going to go through, because most of it is similar. You can read through it. Srila Prabhupada talks about how from brahmacharya to grihastha to vanaprastha to sannyas. And then Prabhupada says, studying the whole scheme of dissociation from woman, it appears that a woman is a stumbling block for self-realization, and the Lord appeared as Narayana to teach the principle of womanly dissociation with a vow in life. The demigods, being envious of the austere life of the rigid brahmacharis, would try to cause them to break their vows by dispatching soldiers of Cupid. Now, Indra is always afraid, because anyone who does austerity, his first thing is, they are after my position. he feels like that. He's always in anxiety. Whenever he sees some sages, he goes and disturbs them. And that's why you see when Vishwamitra was doing, he sent Menaka, and then later he sent Ramba, and then to destroy his meditation like that. But if you are a devotee, then Haridas Thakur proved that, you know, even when material nature, Maya, came as a beautiful woman, she couldn't disturb his vow. In fact, he initiated material nature to chant the holy name. So that is the power of a devotee and an ordinary person. But in the case of the Lord, it became an unsuccessful attempt when the celestial beauty saw that the Lord can produce innumerable such beauties by his mystic internal potency, and that there was consequently no need to be attracted by others externally. So when these celestial ladies came and started dancing in front the apsaras, the Lord did a duplicate of the exact apsaras from his body. So they like shocked. So they left. So, and that's his internal potency. So he can take enjoyment from his own internal potency. Why does he want anyone else? He's Sachidananda, he's Atmarama. He doesn't need anyone to give him pleasure. So he exhibited that. But at the same time, to teach us that we have to practice tapasya, and so we dissociate from all that is attractive to us or cause us to be attracted to. Then Prabhupada says, there is a common proverb that a confectioner is never attracted by sweetmeats. The confectioner who is always manufacturing sweetmeats has very little desire to eat them. Similarly, the Lord by his pleasure potential powers can produce innumerable spiritual beauties and not be the least attracted by the false beauties of material creation. One who does not know alleges foolishly that Lord Krishna enjoyed women in his Rasa Leela in Vrindavan or with his 16,000 married wives at Dwaraka. So if you are foolish, then you'll think, oh, he enjoyed, I also want to enjoy like that. But you can't maintain one wife, what to speak of 16,108, right? Who was his first wife? Huh? Oh, you guys don't know. Not good. First is Rukmini.
We are
in
the first chapter.
No excuse. First wife is Satyabhama. No, Rukmini. Second one?
From the first chapter.
Who's the second wife?
Chambavati.
No, Chambavati. Yeah. Then the third wife is?
Satyabhama.
Then the fourth?
Never moved from first and second.
Kalindi. How come you all don't read?
Madhav Gauranas, she completed Krishna.
Then after Kalindi, who's the fifth one?
Medanarayana.
Believe it's Mitravinda. Right? And then, sixth, huh? No, Lakshmana is the seventh. Nagnajit, na? Nagnajiti. And another name was? Satya, right? And then you have Lakshmana, and then the last one is Bhadra. These are the eight principal queens. Why are you all doing this? Then you have all the other 16,000. Yeah, 16,000 wives, so you need to know the names. Anyway, you all should know at least some things, you know.
We were totally silent in all these questions.
Yes.
So, who are the other
16,100? Oh, you know the 16,000. They should be in the Purana somewhere. What are you doing? This is her story. Anyway, let's go. Text 7.
Prabhu, may I ask a question? In this, like in the purports we read about, you know, women being the cause and things like that.
No? I told you it's not devotee. Yeah, woman. Alright, because it's psychologically different, no? Man is different, woman. Generally, women are more worried about the socio-economic situation more so than a man. When a man marries a woman, then there's balance. Otherwise, the man will just wander and do any nonsense or whatever he would do. But with a woman, then she will bring him to understand there's a home, you have to take care of these responsibilities, become more congealed, okay? And at the same time, the association, if it's favorable, then they are Krishna conscious. If it's not, then he goes deeper into this lifestyle. It's
so
not.
How do you explain this to new people? Because I had a few people come, maybe in Bhagavad Gita or something.
Yeah, so this is what I mean. There's a certain needs a woman has and a certain need a man has. Yeah. So if you give the situation like that, a woman would want a stability. A man don't bother with stability. He will just drop and go. You understand? So that on that basis, that's a psychological thing. It's very inert. It's like in the psyche itself. So because of that, the scripture normally says if you're married, then you are going to be busy with that kind of life. So therefore, it is not conducive. Not that it's not good. It's not conducive for Krishna conscious activities like that. Yeah.
I also wanted to verify something. Like, I heard somewhere that, like, in a woman's body, it is the tendency is to be more attached to the child and to, as you said, the socioeconomic concern. So, because of that, like, the man can be tied into stuff.
Possibly. When.
Because for herself, for like, whatever she has to do, taking care of the child and the house and everything, there has to be that attachment.
Yeah. But still, the man is only attracted to the woman. The other thing is, when Brahma created both the man and woman, when he created the man, the body, after when he created the woman, everything he created for the woman was 8 times superior than the man. So beauty, everything, fame, everything, features, everything. Because you have all so much, you also become mental. Huh? No, I'm just joking. So that's why the man is bewildered by women. They are more superior in that sense. And also that, yeah. Because everything is too much for you all, so you need the balance. The man can balance you.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is. I feel it is also there to cause this kind of disturbance also, so that people who don't want to surrender will find and use that as an excuse not to surrender to Krishna consciousness. But we also have to be able to present properly also. Yeah. Generally you say don't worry now, you'll understand as you practice more, take more prasadam. And then hopefully they don't see it as an issue. Generally a person sees something as an issue because it bothers their ego, actually. Yeah.
Maybe
to read it somewhere inside. Yeah, it is there. That's why it hurts them to read there. You know, because they know, I want to be like that. Why are they saying I can't? Yeah. According to all Manu Samhita and so on, women are supposed to be protected. You see, that is this. But modern society don't want that protection. Right? Yeah, if you protect a woman, then you can tell your child, know this, know that, and so on. But if they learn from outside, they'll demand, right? My friend has it, they have it, why I can't do it? Like that. Usually you can't say, unless you're well-read, then you can explain, according to this, this is not good for you. Then they'll have to accept, because you have an authority. But if you don't have the understanding, then you have no authority. The social dynamics breaks down, because you don't have an authority. That's one of the reasons why we need to read Prabhupada's books too. Be strong in our conviction also on certain issues. It's not that you can't work or go and earn money. That's not the point, actually. Yeah. I was talking to one Mataji the other day, and she said when she was working, her father told her that, okay, you can work, but you know, but you have to come back home by 6 o'clock, no later than that. I don't care where you work. Okay. So then one day she had a big meeting in another city. Then she told her father that I, you know, there's a meeting. And then the father said, that's okay, you can go, but I want you to be back by 5-6 o'clock in the evening. And she said, but I have to go. That's it. And then he walked away. So she went and told her boss. Then her boss said, no, you are you know, a grown-up lady, you should be able to go. And you tell your father. Then she went and told her father. Her father said, okay, you can quit the job and you can stay at home. So you may think it's harsh, but what is the father doing? Yeah. So he had the principle well clear.
Yeah, but it's misunderstood
as... Exactly. People don't understand, but he is protecting that person so much. Who's going to protect her when she goes somewhere else? So then she also said one time she, you know, end of the year she had to do some closing accounts and so she was busy. So then she told her father, I'll be busy, so I won't be able to come by 6. Then he said, okay, make sure you're back by 7, like that. So they agreed. Then one day it went over to 8 or 9. So he calls her on the phone. What are you doing? And then she said, I forgot, I'm sorry. She said, if you're not here, I'm going to give you some time. But within 1 hour, you can forget about working. So it may seem harsh, but at the same time, who's responsible? So when you look at the intention of the father, there's so much love and affection, he doesn't want his daughter to be hurt in the long run. But modern people can't see that. Because they emphasize sense gratification. Whereas the old culture emphasized virtues, you know, chivalry nature and all this. All gone now. Where's a chivalrous person now? They'll stab you. That's the chivalry nowadays. Who stabs the best? Right? So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so don't get so disturbed by whenever you read women been less and less. No, I'm saying, you know, it affects some devotee ladies also, but I think, and maybe that's one of the reasons why many women like to call themselves Prabhu also, you know. So, I don't know, because during Prabhupada's time, he called some of the ladies Prabhu. So they said, if Prabhupada calls us, why you all can't call us also? I know. What is important is what's in the book. So in the book, Prabhupada says one should address a woman as mother, apart from one's wife. Everyone is mother. So that is the important point. That supersedes anything else, you know. But they cannot let go of that. So therefore you see this thing. So you go to some temples, everyone is Prabhu, you know.
No, Hare Krishna Prabhu calls us Prabhu.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a GBC, I think, that level is a standard.
Yeah, but you see, they are actually, GBC means they are setting standards.
But other members of GBC,
they also Prabhus. Call themselves Prabhus.
They
yeah.
want you to call us Prabhus.
That's yeah. Prabhu once said, Mataji, and then he said, no, I need to keep practicing how to say Prabhu because when I go for those meetings, I don't want to make a mistake.
There's nothing wrong. It's just that now we are, these are small things that creeps into and then makes us forget what is more important. No? In essence, it's not a big deal on one sense. Yeah, you want to be called Prabhu? Okay, Prabhu, man. But on the other hand, like we are brought up in a certain culture, then for us, Prabhu is man, Prabhuvi is female. Then when you say Prabhu, in English it's Mr. and Miss, you know. Then why should I call you Miss, Mr., right? So anyway, this is ad infinitum, such things goes on, you know. Let's not worry about it. Text 7.
One of the lectures from Tamalkrishna Maharaj lecture, I think Maharaj goes really heavy basically on quoting Prahlad Maharaj's
teachings.
Adanda Gopi Vedatam Tamishram. So basically falling into the blind well.
Yes. Anda. Andhakupa.
And Maharaj actually explains how when a man is getting married and, you know, so basically he's going kind of tied up and then he's actually falling into the blind well of material existence.
Mm.
And then Maharaj explained all the things and then only Mataji asked the question. So he said one hand that a man getting married, he basically he's a blind well. Blind well means, you know, he's going
right, down. Right.
But on the other hand, you say Mataji should be married.
Yeah, Prabhupada also had the same question. So, yeah, go on.
So basically, this is Mataji asked the question. First of all, Maharaj told, I didn't say, when you ask this question, you are not criticizing me, you are criticizing Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Because Bhagavatam it is stated.
Yes.
That, you know,
woman has to be protected.
Married, when a man is getting married, you know, Andhagopa, like that. Then he explains, actually, for a man, getting married, you know, getting into the tying knot, that is actually blind well. But for a woman, it is not.
Hmm.
Because woman's dharma is to be protected.
Yes.
And she has to be, you know, married. For her, it is actually uplifting.
Yes.
Constitutionally, for her position, it's uplifting. But for the position in the male, actually, he is actually falling into
yeah. That's true.
Conditioning like that.
Yeah, but then again, a dilemma. Then, anyway. The other thing is, men nowadays in Kali Yuga are not qualified like they used to be previously. That's why you find a lot of women are not happy with the situation, and so you have all kinds of problems, divorces and all.
I also heard that when you get married,
yeah,
you give, like, man gives 50% of the karma, is good pious, good karma to the wife right on the first day.
First day.
Dowry. Dowry, yeah. No, then the other thing is
100% bad.
No, 50% of our good always goes. And 100% of their bad comes to us, something like that. So it's a total loss.
I've heard that net zero. I've heard if she serves the husband well, then everything that the positive is for her. She gets all positive.
Yeah,
she gets liberated like that also.
And 50% of ours also she gets.
That I've never heard that.
I heard that.
I thought it's 100%.
Oh, 100%?
Yeah, 100%. No, not bankrupt. Just whatever you get, she also gets.
But
yeah.
That is if the woman is supporting the service.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what I've heard. She gets exactly what you get.
Oh, like that.
Yes.
Yeah, like, not like you become bankrupt and she gets.
It's
50%.
Not 50%.
I mean, whatever you get, she shares.
She
right?
Shares, exactly. Complete.
She gets complete.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Not from your quota. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But we also get their bad quota.
Yeah, because she is supposed to be, you should give her shelter and protect her and guide her.
Okay.
So if you don't do all that properly, according to dharma, you see, according to the Vedic system, the husband is supposed to be the guru. So therefore, you are taking the reactions, yeah, in that sense. Yeah. So that's why you all have to chant really. Now you're more impetus to chant more properly. Yeah, Mataji can tell them, chant properly. Anyway, yeah, you can always find faults or humor in it. Anyway, text 7. Kaman dahanti kritino nanurosa drishya.
Kaman dahanti kritino nanurosa drishya.
Roshan dahantam utatena dahanti asyasyam.
Roshan dahantam utatena dahanti asyasyam.
Soyam yadantaram alam bravisham vibeti.
Soyam yadantaram alam bravisham.
Kama katam nu punarasya manasrayeta.
Kama katam nu punarasya
manasrayeta. Great stalwarts like Lord Shiva can, by their wrathful glances, overcome lust and vanquish him. Yet, they cannot be free from the overwhelming effects of their own wrath. Such wrath can never enter into the heart of him, the Lord, who is above all this. So how can lust take shelter in his mind? This is describing the Lord himself. Lust is not in him. So in the purport, this is just a pastime where Lord Shiva burns Cupid. So then a few lines down, Srila Prabhupada says, on the contrary, Bhrigu Muni tested the tolerance of the Lord by purposely kicking his chest. Right? You know the story, right? He went to Brahma, then he went to Shiva, then he went to Vishnu to test to see who's the Lord. Brahma got very angry, but he controlled his anger. So he saw that he still lost his anger. Then when he went to Shiva, Shiva got very angry also. And then he said he is also not supreme. Then finally he came to Vishnu, and then he made the worst test. Was he kicked him on the chest when Lakshmi Devi was with him. So when Lakshmi Devi saw that, she cursed all the brahmanas. She said, you'll always be poor. So that's why Brahmins is always begging, in a sense. So, tested the tolerance of Lord by purposely kicking his chest. But instead of being angry at Bhrigu Muni, the Lord begged his pardon, saying that Bhrigu Muni's leg might have been badly hurt because his chest is too hard. The Lord says that. The Lord has the sign of the foot of Bhrigu Pada as the mark of tolerance. So even in the murtis, when you are this murtis, when you are bathing, the bronze murtis, so I'm not sure about the marble murtis, but usually bronze murtis, they have that on the chest, the feet there, Bhrigu's feet. The Lord therefore is never affected by any kind of wrath. So how can there be any place for lust, which is less strong than wrath? Kamayesha, Krodhayesha. So Krodha is stronger than lust. When lust or desire is not fulfilled, there is appearance of wrath. But in the absence of wrath, how can there be any place for lust? The Lord is known as Aptakama, or one who can fulfill his desires by himself. So it's a nice word you can also know. Some of you will be able to use it properly. Aptakama, or he is also Atmarama. Okay. And then the conclusion, Srila Prabhupada says, conclusion is that the absolute personality of Godhead has neither lust nor anger. And even if there is sometimes a show of lust and anger by the absolute, it should be considered an absolute benediction. To even see that. Yeah. It's very nice. Text 8. We'll do this and we'll stop. Huh? Lord Narasimha, that shows anger, you know, but actually it's a benediction to Hiranyakashipu. Text 8. Vidda sapadnyudita patribiranti rajno. Vidda sapadnyudita patribiranti rajno. Balo pisanupagata sapasevanani.
Balo pisanupagata sapasevanani.
Tasma dadruva gati grinate prasanno.
Tasma dadruva gati grinate prasanno.
Divyastuvanti munayo yadupari dastat.
Divyastuvanti munayo yadupari dastat.
Being insulted by sharp words spoken by the co-wife of the king, even in his presence, Prince Dhruva, though only a boy, took to severe penances in the forest, and the Lord, being satisfied by his prayer, awarded him the Dhruva planet, which is worshipped by great sages, both upward and downward. Okay, so two paragraphs down, Prabhupada explains about this planet. The planet awarded to Prince Dhruva Maharaj is a fixed Vaikuntha planet, installed in the material atmosphere by the will of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. So Dhruva Loka is Vaikuntha planet, okay? This planet, although within the material world, will not be annihilated at the time of devastation, but will remain fixed in its place. And because it is a Vaikuntha planet, never to be annihilated, it is worshipped even by the denizens of the seven stars situated below the Dhruva planet, as well as by the planets which are even above the Dhruva planet. Maharishi Bhrigu's planet is situated above the Dhruva planet. Then a few lines down in the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, a serious personality can thus achieve the highest perfection of meeting the Lord and attain his objective simply by being guided by a pure devotee. In our case, Srila Prabhupada and his shishyas, who automatically approaches by dint of one's serious determination to meet the Lord by all means. Okay. So if we are serious like Dhruva, then we can also do it. That's what Prabhupada is saying. If you are not serious, then it will be tough. Huh? So we are facing challenges. But all these pastimes are meant to encourage us to not give up, move on, so we get something. Yeah. Okay, I'll stop here. And then Saturday we'll continue from text 9. Right? Okay, then in your tests, one question is about the 6 questions the sages ask.
Okay.
Let me stop.